Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caleb Patterson, P4P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck or ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. I am Caitlin Patterson. My co-host is Desiree Fletcher. She's going to run a little behind. She has family members that are not feeling so well. So we will just have to trudge on until she's able to make it. And I hope the children are doing fine after she's done. We have a very nice guest coming on. And actually, it's perfect. Very perfect, because, you know, we have the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas pretty soon, so we have a very special guest, Noelle, and I'm going to say hi to her and let her come on and introduce herself, and we'll get the show started. Hi, Noelle.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Little
Well, please just introduce yourself.
Sure.
Let the community know what.
Like I said, my name is Noelle, Noelle Brew. I am a physique competitor, fitness enthusiast, educator, coach, barbell
everything.
Lover, nutrition fanatic, podcast listener, learner. Small business owner, dessert junkie. So that's a little bit about who I am.
Now, how long have you been in this for?
I started competing in 2014. I did my first show. That was Brenda Ray's show in Sheboygan, Midwest Championship. That was an NANBF show. So I did the novice and open figure, and I won that show and won my pro card. And then I continued to compete through the 2014-2015 seasons and improve my physique and went into athletics and fit body and physique. And then in 2015, after I did shows, I took some time off, did some evaluating in the kitchen, like learning a lot about nutrition and what works well for my body and building some muscle, lifting heavier and just trying to learn what works for me. And then decided 2017 was a good time to compete again. So that's
You picked a very good year. Now, I'm glad you brought up something, because this is you actually came in right when all the nutritional information was basically, I don't want to say changing, because the information had been out, the ones that were well known to it, but it was very foreign to the people that were basically not really knowing about coaching and not really knowing about coaches that were really in the know. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that call themselves coaches, but they were far from it and have been exposed repeatedly as we've been getting more and more into the scientific nutrition side of the sport. And that's a good thing, because I was really afraid for people's health, and I was very worried about people's lives and families because, you know, they were put through such extremes unnecessarily. I'm sure that you have horror stories that you could share as well. But we don't want to harp on that. It's just that you came in at a time where people actually cared enough about themselves, their programs that they were basically putting out there, and also the information that was very real and the bro science that had to go away. So when you were coming in and doing that, how did that feel to see your body able to change in a healthy way instead of basically just watching the fat fall off because you were starving yourself?
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons, like, why I do longer preps, because a lot of stuff has to change nutritionally to transition your body from an everyday healthy body to a physique competitor. So a lot goes into that, planning, prep, measuring, weighing, and creating those like really strict habits. For me, takes a longer time like to adjust. So I take longer preps and make slower adjustments to my nutrition, such as like switching things out like bananas to berries. I eliminate like my amount of peanut butter and switch it over to almond butter because I'm not as tempted to lick the spoon. I add more greens and like spinach. I start to eliminate things like my Starbucks Mistos that are everyday things that I enjoy that cannot be while I'm doing prep for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know, so I start slow and transition those habits for myself first. That's why I take
mm-hmm.
longer preps and why I feel it's healthy, like it's healthier to do a longer prep for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, yeah, you know, there's some people who go for more rigorous extremes. That's just not the way I like to do it.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we're all we're all different, and you're all unique. So, you know, that's a great
right.
thing that you did to adjust, and you did figure your body out instead of basically going to
right.
those extremes that put your health and your body at risk. Because a lot of people don't understand. You know, you're not just putting you at risk, but anybody that's involved with you gets put at risk as well, because they're basically supporting you, and they don't have much to support if you're falling apart. You know.
Right, exactly. I mean, you have to, being as healthy as possible as you're going to some extremes, and it does get to some, you know, extremes toward the end of a prep for a physique and bodybuilding and figure and bikini athletes. But there's no doubt about it. It gets challenging mentally at, you know, for me. And so, like, that's one of the things that I learned this year is that toward the end of my prep, like, I needed to hire a second set of eyes. I needed to have accountability to somebody else. So for me, that was something I did different this time by hiring a coach at the 10 week out from my bigger shows, the BFAC Worlds and IPE Worlds. And to have that accountability to somebody, like, I didn't want to let them down. So, like, I'm not going to have that cheat because I'm going to be sending them my pictures and my numbers. So for me, that was something that I did differently this time that I think really was important. And I worked with Patricia Payne and the Hard Body team. And
yes,
I mean, they, what's that?
That's it. The Hard Body.
Yeah. I worked with them and they, did an amazing job helping me, you know, come in. Our goal was for me to come in lean and full and hard, and the leanest I could possibly be. For me, my thought was, you know, like, I'm very petite. I'm 5'1". It's just that's my natural genetic physique.
Mm-hmm.
I can hold some muscle pound for pound that I have, and so
good thing like that.
So coming in lean, like, I'm never going to be as big as some of these other amazing competitors. Like, it's just not who I am, but I can come in lean and stay full and hard. And for me, I thought that was the best way to get, you know, some lack of better term, like, attention to my physique, like bringing it in.
Well,
so dial in that way. Yep. So, I mean, one of the things that I have learned this year is that definitely, like, to really, like, showcase your physique, and it's not about size. It's about, you know, bringing the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, I do not want to gloss over two very big names that you mentioned in the bodybuilding industry, and that's one being Brenda Ray and number two being
mm-hmm.
Patricia Payne. These are
mm-hmm.
top upper echelon people to be around. Did you basically pick the brain of Brenda when you had a chance to compete at her show?
Yeah, I mean, Brenda gave me some, you know, valuable advice at the beginning of my journey into fitness competing. You know, I never worked with her, but I did her show and think she's amazing and think that, you know, she gives great coaching for others. But she definitely gave me some advice about, like, things like on fruit at one point in time, you know, just saying, hey, you might want to switch these out based off their sugar content and things like that, which were things that were I was beginning to learn. So, I mean, she definitely helped me with the nutritional questions at the beginning of my career, and I did some posing with her as well. She does some excellent posing.
Yes, she does.
So, yeah, so, and then Patricia Payne and the Hard Body team, who I've, you know, both recently been able to work with. You know, Terry McKee helped me with all my posing. Patricia gave me some good, what's that?
I said, oh, yeah. You just said two big names.
Yeah, she's amazing. Helped me with posing. Patricia gave me some great tips on posing my physique in a feminine manner that shows off my, you know, my different strong points, like my legs and shoulders and things like that. And, you know, we worked on trying to help me get my lats out a little bit wider, which is something I still need to continue to work on. So, I mean, that's another great lesson, like know your body and how to pose your body in the best light for yourself.
Yes.
So.
Now, I'm going to also bring up the point that, you know, you go from one person that's very great and very good at what they do, being Brenda Ray, from, you know, competing at her show and getting good sound information, and then going to the next person, which is Patricia Payne, who's just magnificent in posing and,
yeah.
and holding the stage. She's a multiple-time world champion. So, you know, you basically have been learning from the best. So that's great to hear. And, you know, it's also good to know that they're willing to reach out and not just win for themselves, but actually pass that information and knowledge on to others. So, I mean, that's a great thing to hear. How did you feel being under the tutelage of Patricia Payne? Wow.
Well, I mean, definitely honored to have her expertise. I mean, she's somebody that I admire, look up to, respect, and trust. And I think that when you're going into a show, you have to trust your coach and be able to really rely on them and trust that they've got your best interest at heart and they're going to take you there in the safest manner. And for, I mean, that, like, the wisdom that I gained from not only Patricia but the whole Hard Body team, Law, and Terry, was invaluable to me. So, I mean, I feel grateful, and I feel, like, lucky to have had that information and that experience and that team and that network. So,
yeah, I mean, like, we were talking, like, we had a show on yesterday, we had a special show, and we were talking a little bit on this about the negative side of what you just said, because there was a lady that trusted her coach, and he didn't basically earn that trust by doing what he was supposed to, and basically put her in a spot where she couldn't compete. And it was actually at the show you talked about the DFAC World. So, you know, that's really painful for anybody that has to go through that. But it's nice to know that there are coaches out there that do have the best interests of their client and are willing to make sure that they're more than addressed and taken care of. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. because that was a big thing, you know, is that this person that spent a year, like you said, you took a slower breath, and that's a lot of time, dedication, and sacrifice is put aside to make sure you do and look your best, only to find out that, you know, at the end of the road, the goal has been basically stripped from you. So, you know, it's good to hear you pass along that information, and it's great to know that there's coaches out there that are willing to do what they're supposed to do.
Definitely, and I think, you know, I mean, my advice to people, it is unfortunate that that may happen, and there's so many people in the fitness industry nowadays, and so I just think it's really, you know, my advice to anybody would be, you know, do your research on the different coaches that are out there. There's some spectacular coaches out in the industry. I mean, we've got Cliff Wilson, John Gorman, the Hard Body team, so Brenda Ray. I mean, so there's amazing coaches out there. So just do your research on them and, you know, talk to them, see what's a good fit for you. You're definite. I mean, this isn't something that you get for free. You pay for your coaches. So it's okay to ask questions and learn about them and see if it's going to be a good match for you.
Yes.
And I mean,
I've always learned is that if any good coach is also a good teacher, they run hand in hand.
Right.
That means they have the knowledge of what they're saying. So anyone that feels threatened by questions means they don't know how to teach. So that means they're not a good coach. I mean, it's one and the same. I say it's two sides of the same coin. And like you said, it shouldn't be a threat for you to ask a question to somebody that you're paying your money. And basically saying, I'm putting my trust in you to make sure that I'm addressed as a human being and as a competitor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. It's just you gaining knowledge and them giving knowledge, and like you said, any good coach is going to answer your legitimate questions. So,
yeah, no matter how stupid you might think they are, they mean the world to the person that's trying to get you to your goal. I can't imagine,
right,
you know, you were asking for directions, and then you say, well, you know, you don't have to tell me about the side roads or the road construction. Just tell me how to get there, and then I'm leave the rest up to me. That would be insane because, you know, you have detours, you have roadblocks, and you have accidents. So, you know, it's the same thing with the start to finish on a prep, and every single prep that you do is different. So I know you can speak on that.
Yeah, every single prep is different. I mean, things change with your physique and your body and how you're lifting, and, you know, you go through different seasons of things, but I mean, really, when you enter into, I think, like a prep with a coach, it's a partnership, it's a team effort. You know,
mm-hmm.
You've got both, you know, there's working parts to it, and you both have to be doing your part. I mean, the competitor puts in a lot of work, the coach puts in a lot of work, and you work together with that. I mean, it's a great, if you can collaborate, I mean, it's a great, great thing to have.
Yes, it is.
And you, like, just a network of people as well, other competitors, you know, get to know them, talk to them, learn from them. I mean, I think that's really important as well. So, you know, learn from the judges, get your judges' feedback, and be open and willing
mm-hmm.
to hear everything from the good, bad, to indifferent, because, you know, they're going to tell you, but it's important for you to be open to that, to be able to learn from it and come back with a new package, a better package, a more refined package than your last one.
Well, I'm going to expound on that because, you know, we saw this at the Peoria show, and we also saw it at the IPE Worlds where the competitor was asking for the information but not really caring to hear the truth of what they wanted, I mean, what was expected. And I think that's what you were bringing up, because it's really important that, you know, if you're going to ask for the truth, you should truthfully be ready to hear it. And I think, you know, that a lot of times there's a breach in that wanting to know what you did wrong or what was missing in your package. And you say, well, you know, this is the best I've ever looked, which is true. I mean, I've been I've been backstage at the Heart of America where a young lady couldn't pose worth a darn, and it showed, and it was god-awful to see her up there because you were saying this is a first-place package that's not being presented on stage, and, you know, family and boyfriend were all backstage yelling and raving because they felt she had been robbed. And when I was able to explain the criteria and the posing and show her the different poses, the parents were able to understand, and the boyfriend had to shut his mouth because he had to see that, you know, everybody out here is not an idiot, and some people are willing to speak up because a lot of times it is the package that's not presented that costs you that first place trophy. I mean, there's been times where, you know, everybody's shaking their head and scratching their sideburns because they can't figure out what the heck happened with the score. But then there's other times where it's a glaring omission of presentation, and that costs a lot of competitors. Noel, I'm going to pause for a second because I have my co-host, my PIC team also up in here coming up in air, and I just want her to say hello and know that.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I had mom duty this evening, but I'm here. Sounds like you guys have got a great conversation going, so continue on and I'll jump in.
Sure.
Well, Dan, I'm just going to get
you caught
up. Wait, hold on. I'm just going to get you caught up with what we talked about because Noelle was talking about how she had Brenda Ray, she wanted to show, and she gave her sound advice, and then she's got Patricia Payne, and she gave her great posing and how she trusted her coach. And then I said this is something that segued right into last night's show where we were talking about that because people seem to think that it's okay to gloss over these things, and I want it to be very apparent that, you know, we do have a lot of things going on in our lives, and sometimes we do put trust in people, and it needs to be verified. And like you were saying last night, it's quality information that they're giving, and we want to make sure that that's addressed, that, you know, coaches are to be trusted because they do work hard at their job. But we're talking about real coaches and not people that are willing to basically put your health at risk to make a buck. So anything you
want
to add to that?
I mean, you know, I think you covered it succinctly. We've been I feel like we've been talking about this for a while now. And, you know, despite everything that we've covered the past couple of days where there was some misinformation given by a coach, you know, it is important. There are times you need to be able to trust your coach. But again, I mean, It's just a catch-22 on this one example. So everyone still needs to continue to do their due diligence, but everything seems to be checking out, then do proceed. I mean, and like we've always said, ask your coach questions, and if they can't answer your questions, or, you know, that's red flag right there. But, I mean, if they're coming with it and you decide you're going to double-check something they said and it pans out, then great. Keep trucking on.
There you go. And now we'll get back to Noelle. And Noelle, you were saying?
Yeah, we were talking about, like, the judges and being open and willing to get any and all feedback from the judges and use it to bring their more refined packages. And then you were saying about people feeling robbed, which, you know, can happen. But all in all, like, the judges have a really tough job. I mean, when we're going into shows like The World, you know, athletes are there to compete, and everybody's, you know, dialed in, and everybody's got a great physique. So the judges, I mean, really have a tough job, and it's, you know, as a competitor, know your judges, know your judging criteria, and just, you know, do your best to bring the best package that you can overall and get that attention on stage and, you know, do everything you can to get there, but it is in the judges' hands. And some days it's not going to fall in your favor, and other days it will. And if at other shows it will. And if it doesn't, be willing to learn from what the judges have to say and go from there. You know, because we're all, I mean, like everybody always says, we're all already winners just for being there. I mean, this is a tough, tough sport, mentally, physically, and, you know, it's not a huge sport, but it's a great competitive sport to be in. And I mean, the physiques are coming out stronger and stronger every year, and the competition is fierce and it's awesome.
It is. I mean, and that was, I mean, judging at that show, I would have been so intimidated. Granted, I'm just getting started. I'm not officially a judge yet, but just because the competitors were so put together, they did, I mean, they brought it. They brought it. And that, I mean, that judging was tough. It wasn't like going into a show where you have an obvious anything. It wasn't an obvious placing anywhere. I mean, it was tough, and that's why they were on stage upwards of 30 to 40 minutes, pretty much every class, for the most part.
And I really,
because,
and I really think that was amazing to have us up there posing like that. Like, judges got a girl sore as hell, but I'm telling you, they made us work for it, and they made us earn our placings. And, you know, I mean, Nicole Higgins, who won my class and looked amazing. I've seen photos. Like, I don't really see what's going on stage. You know, I'm looking at it from a different point of view than all of you guys. And, you know, I'm posing and it hurts and, you know, trying to keep that composure and breathe, and the lights are hot. And, you know, so you're seeing, like, I'm experiencing a different, you know, when I'm out there and getting fatigued, total different light than what the spectators, judges, and audience are. So I don't see my other competitors. You're kind of in your zone. So seeing pictures back, like, and knowing, like, the feedback that I got from the judges personally, and the amount of time we were out there posing, like, they thought we looked amazing, and they said it, and they had us work for it and earn our placings. And I feel like, and, you know, I can only speak for my class personally, but I feel like they did a damn good job. And I'm extremely pleased with the way the judging came out. And I think that, you know, the top five were spot on, and they did a great job.
Well, I mean, and you all look great. So I'm gonna put this out there, because I'm sure there are a lot of people wondering too, because even at this level of competition, and then I know we've got some listener questions I need to get to, but I wanted to ask this. The women's physique bodies, to me, are starting to blend so closely to women's bodybuilding. I mean, really. It's with just size and definition. I was having trouble differentiating. So can you help, and I'm sorry, guys, if you guys already covered this, but can you give our audience just kind of the breakdown of what the difference is between the two classes, if you can?
Well, sure. I mean, I think physique athletes fall in that they're a little bit too hard for figure. They can get that a little bit more condition than figure, but they don't get as much mass as bodybuilding. Like somebody like me, I feel like that's where I really fit in. I do agree with you that there are some girls that are bigger and fuller that, you know, could probably do bodybuilding as well, because their overall size is bigger. And, you know, that's the difference. I mean, bodybuilding, your mass is greater, but your conditioning is spot on, and you have that separation and that striation and that dry, full look. So physique is just a smaller mass size, you know, and obviously in all categories, symmetry is huge. So,
yeah,
I mean, the lines can get crossed a little bit, but, you know, it's really hard to know where you fit in the best, and sometimes you have to try to figure out different federations and different classes to see where your physique fits best.
Yeah. And I would think, I mean, just from my perspective, and then I'll turn it over to you, Kayla, that on the amateur level, some that difference can be easier to see. But once you hit the pro level, I mean, there are just several physiques that I was like, man, I couldn't tell the difference. I honestly, for my eye, it needs more training, but they just look so close. I mean, and it used to be that female bodybuilders, they couldn't have like any bling or anything like that on their suits. They needed to be very plain. Women's physique, when that first started coming in, the poses were more feminine a little bit, and they could have the bling. But now the poses, I think, are closer. And maybe it's just my learning curve that needs to get elevated on this. But the differences that I once thought were obvious between the two classes weren't so obvious to me anymore. I don't know, KP, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, she brings up a good point. And, you know, this is something we've been talking about in bodybuilding as well for the male side, is that the size was usually the difference in the different classes. And I think what's happening is because everybody wants to have that super shredded look, that they're sacrificing muscle in order to do it. I mean, like Noelle was saying, she's got a body type that fits her look. But then there's some people, when you see them in the off season, sometimes they look better than they did when they're stepping on stage because they're so undersized. And I think, you know, that's something that's going to have to be addressed in the future if we want to make it a sustainable industry, because, you know, some people are naturally lean and they can basically put fullness into that muscle and step on stage and compete. And then there's some people that are larger sized and they would have to basically dress down everything, including the muscle. And I think, you know, it's the point of depreciating returns where their off season sacrifices so much with body fat trying to get down to a lean part on stage that they come in too lean because they had to get rid of so much body fat under a short amount of time. So, you know, it's something that's going to have to be worked out because, like you're saying, it's starting to blur, and I think it's becoming noticeable even to the people that are laymen in how they go about attending shows just to watch the competitors and not actually compete. So it's something that we're definitely going to have to address in the future because, you know, sooner or later we're going to cross so many lines that nobody's going to understand what's on stage. We're just going to have one big blurred mess. And we sure don't want that with such a growing and vibrant industry.
Definitely.
Yep. So, well, awesome. I thought you looked awesome. Totally enjoyed watching the women's physique category a lot. I mean, it was just so tough. It was a really tough competition, and you still bubbled to the top. So congratulations. Congratulations on that.
Dana
wants to know, okay, so you were at the Worlds, and I'm going to assume you already talked about your placement there, but then you also, the IPE Worlds, but then you also competed at the big DFAC show. How did you do there?
At DFAC, I took second to Claire Burton out of the UK. So I was in second place there. Again, that was a little smaller of a show. There was three of us. Bridget Patterson was the third girl. And again, another case where the girls looked amazing. And, you know, we worked for our placings. And the judges that day thought that Claire Burton brought the world champion physique. And, you know, I know my physique was stellar as well, and I just have to, you know, learn from what they said and, you know, try again.
Yeah, and there you have it. I mean, that's with any athlete, and that's with any of us. And, you know, some days we come out in that top spot, but other days we don't. And you're like, well, how did I do it once, and I didn't do it again? What happened? But
no,
it's like
I think
that sometimes.
Yeah, I think that, you know, like, I just, you know, people are, you're just kind of starting to learn about who I am and my physique. And, you know, so I'm just starting to grow in the industry, and that's okay. And, you know, so I'll try again. And, you know, I'm going to keep working to bring my best each year that I decide to compete.
And that's great. And I think that's exciting to hear. And I know our listeners will be excited about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I thought she looked great at the show, and I was really blown away at her stage presence. So I say kudos to that. And like I said, with having Patricia Payne as a posing coach, and you know, and a coach in general, I'm saying wow, because she has been phenomenal for years. And one of the biggest draws about her being in a show was her night routine, because more people were buying tickets just to see that, because she could basically hold her own on stage. So if you're going to be with the Hard Body team, you're going to basically excel in everything that you've been speaking about. So, you know, you guys match up well, and I can't wait to see, you know, the outcome of what you guys have in mind in the future.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've got some things going in my brain, and I know, like, you know, but it's just, you know, obviously after a show, you got to take a little bit of time to evaluate and kind of let things sink in. A lot changes after shows. I mean, I think this can be sometimes more hard than the actual prep, because structure becomes a little different and things like that. So for me, so it's like really time to kind of get back into a groove. I mean, I need to transition my body back. The reverse diet is, like, I think it's something that many, many, many competitors struggle with. I know I have, I do, and so I'm grateful to have that coaching during my reverse dieting too, as well, for accountability. And, you know, I'm somebody who thrives off structure, so having a day or two off and not having things planned doesn't work well for me. So that's why this board is, like perfect for me. It's like, if things go off plan, I get anxiety, and that's just how I've always been. So this is the perfect sport for me. but so I think that's also like a good topic, like the reverse dieting and how important that is afterward and the changes that happen to your body then. And so, I mean, that's something that I'm working with now, and we've got some things that, I mean, we've got that going right away. I think that's important. I had couple of cheat meals that, man, made me feel bloated and crazy, but they were amazing. I had Minsky's pizza. Kaylin was shoveling me his crust.
You could have
and I had a salted caramel brown cookie skillet, which was amazing. And then the next morning, I had some pancakes. So. And now I'm, you know, back to eating with a little more structure and starting to feel a little better, get my water in, which is important. It seems to be tougher now, but it's important. So I think, like, just like the whole process has, with having coaches, has probably been some of the best money and the best decision I made this year for myself.
Awesome. Well, and that's always great to hear. And I think that's a great segue into our next question, because you're already on track with handling your postseason prep. And Larry wants to know if you are competing next year. So this postseason prep is going to be important for whatever you're planning for 2018. He says he saw your picks from both competitions, so the DFAC Worlds and the IPE Worlds, and feels that you were really close to win at both. So do you have any thoughts yet on what 2018 will bring?
I have some thoughts, but for right now, I'm not really sure 100% if I'm going to compete in 2018 or 2019.
Okay.
I got the feedback from the judges at ITE, and I got the I got some feedback from judges at DFAC, and waiting to get some more, which I just asked for. So I know that'll be coming. And once I have all that, then, you know, I can take a week just to kind of relax, get back into my gym mode, get back into my nutrition mode. And then Patricia and I decided we'll chat and we'll make some plans from there and kind of set our timeline and strategy based off that. So maybe 2018, I mean, but maybe 2019, I can't say for sure.
Cool.
Very
cool. All right. That we definitely want. Sarah wants to know what it was like to compete at an international show and then turn around and be put through your paces with such top names at the IPE show.
The last, like, 10 days, so it was intense, I'll tell you that, because my peak started 10 days out from DFAC, and so, as you know, peak is intense, and then to go into such an amazing show with good, an amazing stage, and got people coming all over the world, so the energy is great. And, you know, you do a show and then you're coming around and you're going to go right into another show. It's intense. And, you know, you're just kind of like pushing through. I know for me, those last 3 weeks were super challenging. I had crying cardio sessions.
I've heard of those.
Just being honest, I mean, you are on lower carbs and lower fats, and, you know, fats fuel the brain and carbs give you energy. And so when those things are down lower, it does give you some mental challenge that you really have to be prepared for. So the last 3 weeks were really intense. And, you know, I'm going to preface that with, like, I'm always going guns blazing and in it to win it. Well, no matter how I place, I'm going to do my best. And so those type of things as physique and bodybuilding athletes, I mean, they know are intense. And you're drinking a lot of water and you're watching your sodium intakes, and you know, it's very structured and very super. I mean, the only other word I can say for it is, like, it's very mentally challenging and super intense physically. So,
I bet. Well, I mean, and it is, but, you know, I always, folks that go into back-to-back competitions, and I've done it, and when you're in it, I mean, you're just kind of in it and you're so focused, but
yeah,
sometimes you just don't understand how much of a toll it was until you're out of it. So it
yeah,
can
yeah,
definitely put you through your paces.
I'll tell you.
But Sarah is also,
Go ahead. I took off of work, like, I go back tomorrow, and I'm so glad that I did, because, like I drove home on Sunday, which, you know, is about an 8.5-hour drive, and then yesterday, it was, like, that's when, like, the adrenaline started to wear off, and I just, like, needed, like, I could just feel my body, like, just rest, like, and so I just totally took a rest and kind of woosahed it yesterday, and now I feel, like, refreshed and ready to go. So, but you have that, like, afterwards, just the adrenaline rush, like, stops, and you just need to, like, take a moment and, like, holy crap, that's over now? Whoa. So it's kind of absorb it all, because it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And Sarah's follow-up question to that is on the softer side of the competition scene, and she wants to know if you forged any new friendships.
Totally. Made a lot of new friends, like Angela out of Nebraska from DFAC. She was very interested in meeting me and had questions, and, you know, we hit it off right away. Christina Camperato, or I just know her as Christina Protina, who won women's bodybuilding. You know, like, I follow her, and I was able to meet her at ITE World, which was exciting. And, you know, we picked each other's brains and had some fun at the pizza party. And Liam McKinnon, he got second in pro bodybuilding. I mean, I follow him on Facebook, use some of his moves. I was telling him his Smith Machine V-bar chest press. Like, I totally got that from him and was able to meet him, and that's exciting. And let's see, who else did I meet? I mean, Angela Yeo, we have never ever, I mean, we competed at BFAC in 2015 World together, which she won, obviously, with her amazing physique. And then, like, we communicate on Facebook, and so I feel like I have a friend in her. So, you know, obviously Patricia and Terry and Law, I worked with them for 10 weeks, like, on my phone and via Skype, but we never actually met until I came for ITE World. So that was exciting to be able to meet them and have them there for me, which was awesome. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of friendships that you make, and it's such a great community of people, and they understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. So that's awesome.
That's so true. Now, I got a question, and this is from Brianna. And she says, what she's asking, as a competitor, especially one that's basically just getting into competition, how important is the after party in speaking to the judges?
Good question.
I think bodybuilding as a sport is, you know, it's networking is important. Knowing your judges are important. Them knowing who you are is important. So I think going to the after parties and networking with your fellow athletes, networking with the judges, networking with the promoters, you know, being able to say thank you to them, and they do a lot to put on these shows, as you know, as well as we do a lot to prepare for these shows. They're the background that are making these things work and allowing us to have these competitions. So extremely important to go and get the feedback and say thank you and have some fun.
And there you go. Great question. You know, I just have to take a moment to say, our listeners, the questions you ask now compared to 2 years ago when we first got started, they really come a long way. You guys are paying attention. You're looking into things. You're coming with it. I mean, you're really trying to figure this whole process out, and that's awesome. That's awesome. Next question, and I think this is a great question too. Noelle, Linda wants to know how much of a transformation you have made from your first show until now.
Quite a bit of a transformation. I mean, you can go to my website, thebodyboutiquewi.com, and there's a gallery, and it'll show pictures from my first shows, and then I'll be adding pictures now, but you can see those online. And it's also a good thing I can do on Facebook is I can post from my first to now. But quite a bit of transformation. I mean, it took 2 years to really have some fun in the gym and lift heavy. I mean, like I said, I'm somebody who just, like, truly, like, I think Caitlin, you and I were talking about this, like, I truly, genuinely love lifting weights. Like, for me, it's like therapy, and there's nothing better, and I feel more like myself with a barbell and ponytail than anything. So kind of got off track there. So remind me of the question.
Well, and just to reiterate, so if you want to see more of Noelle's transformation, I have gone ahead and posted the link to her website on Midwest Muscle, or actually it's getting ready to go live here in just a second, but it was thebodyboutiquewi.com. So
yep.
I'm hitting publish in like 2 seconds, and you guys can just go to Midwest Muscle on Facebook and connect there and check out the pictures and on and on and on and on.
I've gained quite a bit of muscle, like size from when I first started. Like transitioned a lot of fat, it shifted fat to muscle in my body. I mean, it's been a process. From 2014, I mean, I think I started lifting weights in 2012. You know, it hasn't been something that's been part of my life forever. I was, you know, 2012, I'm 36, so I'll be 37 next month. So, Lord, I mean, I was older when I started lifting, and it's just something that, you know, totally changed me as a person in general. It was something that I needed in my life, and, you know, it came at the right time, and it's like the change not only physically, but mentally has been extreme from lifting weights. And I think that that's something super important because it goes hand in hand. I mean, this sport not only changes you physically, but it changes you mentally as well. You learn so much of what you can endure, how like mentally strong you can be, like the grit that comes with competitors in this sport is amazing because it's so hard. So I think the transformation has not only been like body but mind as well.
Very well said. Now we definitely know the people that you're surrounded with. And I mean, those, you're talking about some very big names in the natural bodybuilding industry. And I'm very happy that you've basically been surrounded with such fine people that are willing to take and address your needs. But I also want to give you a chance to give a shout out to the people that have just been there from day one.
Yeah. So I have my whole fitness family at the Body Boutique that are amazing, that support me through everything, that, you know, I've been there through great days of prep and bad days of prep, and who encourage and motivate me by coming and working out and trusting in me at my gym. So that I have my mom and my stepdad who, you know, are really big fans and proud, and, you know, although sometimes, you know, my mom's on, I'm so worried about you. I just can't, but are you going to be okay, especially towards the end of prep? But that's a mom, you know.
That is a mom thing.
I'm glad to have that as well. And I have two sisters and a brother who are amazing and support me. And, like, my sister, my older sister, like, went to, there's a place called Outpost, and they have the most amazing carrot cake that I love. And,
you know someone else. You know someone else whose favorite is carrot cake.
They sell out on Sundays, so she went there and made sure. She was like, "I went there and they had to go and back." And she said to them, "I am not leaving without a piece of carrot cake for my sister."
Oh, here we go.
Like you have to buy one. So I have that. You know, I think. One of my trainers at my gym, Tori Hartman, is been there from the beginning, and just like she's such an inspiration to me with everything that she does. She's a marathon runner. It's a different type of sport, but you know her dedication to her sport and to training people in her sport and the support of me and the help while I'm gone and like the sending me memes and the sending me just like messages like you can make it, I believe in you. I mean, things like that have been so invaluable to me. My coaches have been amazing and such a support. And not only that, but like the coaches, my coaching, the whole coaching team, the whole Hard Body team and network, just outcry and support. I mean, other competitors. I have to, you know, Melissa Johnson sent me some great messages on my and feedback on my physique. Vicki McCann helped me a lot with the DFAC world. Dark As Tan, I loved it. I used it for both shows and loved the color. So, you know, all of those people, just, you know, major shout out and props. Angela Yield for sending me messages, private messages, encouraging me, things like that. Everybody, so friends, family, coworkers, fit family.
Yeah, as you can tell, it takes a village, and that's for sure.
Yep.
That's for sure. So, well, thank you so much that you're able to join us tonight. And I'm sorry that I missed the beginning of our time together, but it's been a great conversation. And
yeah,
we look forward to seeing what you've got coming in the future.
For having me. It was an awesome conversation. I appreciate everything, guys.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too. Thanks.
Wow. Good talk. Good talk, good talk. And so I have to,
wow,
I know we're
cool.
Running out of time, and we wanted to be covering the show results. But first, Kaylin, first, one thing, the carrot cake has reminded me that a couple of shows ago, I don't know how many shows ago, I had thrown out that carrot cake is your favorite cake. And then I also put forth a challenge to our listener land to be drumming up some qualified candidates to be Kaylin Patterson's plus one, and I have yet to receive any submissions. So I'm a little distraught by that, folks out there.
I'm not.
I'm expecting.
I'm relieved.
I'm expecting some cooperation here. All right. I've said my piece on that now. All right. Go on, Kaylin. What you got?
Well, no, I was just saying, I think it's great that we have somebody that's a competitor that's also a listener. And I just, that kind of blew me away when we were down in Liberty and talking, and she was just bringing up the shows and we were talking. I was like, wow, yeah, you are a regular. So that's beautiful. And, you know, also to have, you know, like I was telling you, where people were wishing us well and making sure that Des got her camera time for the Midwest Muscle videos because they wanted to see how beautiful she looked at this one. So, you know, I think
Oh, you guys are flattered.
When we first started, this is not something we had in the plan. It was basically what it's always been, which is basically spiritually based backing of natural bodybuilding as a healthy and fit choice in life, and basically the good things that come from it and stem from it. And, you know, I thank God for the outpouring. I thank God, and I give him all the glory. But I'm just so amazed that it's grown so much. And you know, thank you to the listeners. Thank you to everybody. You know, the year's coming up, and we will have that year-end show. And we definitely have ideas about what it's going to be, but, you know, who knows. But anyway, I digress. Des, let's get some information from you because we basically missed you at the beginning.
I know, sorry. You know, and so here's the deal, and I'll make this quick because we really don't have much time left at all, but my kids are rarely sick, but when they get sick, it's like they all go down. They're like dominoes. It starts with one, and then there's one, and then there's another one. So
they're sick.
tell me about it. So my oldest was sick, but thankfully he was feeling better. He started a new job today, so praise the Lord, that went well. And then my youngest stayed home sick today. And then my oldest daughter, I picked her up early sick today, and I'm like, you guys, you know what? I don't have time to be sick. So whatever y'all got going on, you need to keep it on your end of the house. That's all I got to say about that.
You can be on your deathbed and you're not sick. Mothers can't get sick.
Yeah. I tell you. But so far, so good. Getting ready to go to the gym when we sign off tonight. So hanging in there, folks. I'm fighting it. Whatever it is, I am fighting it. So that's my opinion.
Now, one quick question. Have you posted any videos? This is from Bill, Dale, Johnny, Sarah, Linda, Kyle, and Carmen.
Hey, guys, I have not, but they're coming. I am going to start posting this evening. You know, we're always working on trying to improve the product that we put forth. And usually our videos run a lot like our show. It's just live. It's whatever happens, happens. But we are trying to get them a little bit polished. Sometimes that takes longer. Right now it's taking me longer. So I'm going to skip the polish, and I'm just going to start posting. So you're going to start seeing those probably in the morning, so I know that they all get fresh eyes on them. So they are coming. We've got a lot of great ones, a lot of fun ones. And just so we know, Kaylin has been talking smack out there that he's got a better booty pop than I do. And granted, when I first started 2 years ago, I would have totally have agreed with that. I totally would have agreed with that. But I'm telling you, my booty pop has come a long way, and I'm feeling right now that I am tough competition against Karen Patterson. You know, I'm just saying. So I'm going to leave that right there. We'll pick this back up on Thursday. We'll talk about more show results. We've got more pros coming your way. It's okay, Kaylin. It's okay. I know it's tough, but eventually the king of the hill always comes down. That's all I'm saying. But, okay. So let's go ahead with the snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle is booty popping poodle.
Videos are coming, folks, I promise. On behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.